baby.
Solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's going to be a really gorgeous day today. I got to finish up some lawn work when I get home.
Yeah, well, you know, the lawns are spectacular. I mean, I see this, my co-host Sandy Williams, he's got that question mark look on his face. I don't, good morning to you, Sandy. What's going on?
How are you?
We're talking about lawns, something you know a little bit about.
I'm doing this from home. I didn't want to be Typhoid Mary. So I looked up Typhoid Mary. She was this woman in Ireland in the mid-1800s who spread typhoid fever unbeknownst to herself. And so people who spread diseases are now henceforth called Typhoid Mary. But yeah.
Wait, Sandy, let me write that down.
Okay. keep track of that. I'm better, though. Around the corner.
Well,
re-entered the human race.
Well, you know, Calvin was talking about the lawns, and
yeah, what is a guy your age doing the lawn? Is this your rent?
No, well, my brother and dad got the bulk of it done last night, so I got to do my part and push mow the front yard tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Is this the first time you've done it this year?
Yes, it is. I think.
Well, I'm kind of amazed, Sandy. You know a little bit about know your way around lawns. How many times have you had to cut your lawn?
I cut part of it over the weekend and that was it. And my lawn is still thinking about growing. Only parts of it have succeeded in breaking through in that process.
That's amazing to me. You always have one of the most beautiful lawns that I know. What happened this time around? There was not a lot of snow. There's been a lot of rain. So what would you attribute it to?
I think grass likes snow.
Oh yeah,
but it'll come. It's just my grass is just a little recalcitrant sometimes. I need to fertilize it, I suspect.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know mine is, you know, is. I mean, I fertilized it already, and you just, you know, when it's lush, it's, you know, grass is. It's got its own kind of character, right, Sandy? Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, although grass is not green as far as the folks who are into greenness are concerned, because you have to water it, and you might have to apply fertilizer, all these things. So the folks who are into green prefer things other than green grass. So, you know, out in Arizona and California, I think they've kind of, for new construction, I don't even know if they permit grass.
Well, I couldn't even begin to imagine what that could be like.
So the future, there might be a future without grass. And by that, I mean the green stuff we walk on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, I just have an affinity for grass and for it to be looking nice. So anyway, how do we get on that, Sandy? Oh, Calvin. Calvin got us.
Well, yeah.
You know, let's... We got a lot to talk about this morning as well. Well, Sandy, we would be remiss if we didn't mention our beloved Bucks. And
it's just a must win. Every game from now on is must win, but they keep getting injuries. I guess teams that have older players maybe are fraught with that risk. And then Bobby Portis, I suppose, didn't help things by flaming out after the first 7 minutes, getting himself ejected.
Well, you know, the game Sunday to me was a must win, you know, and without those guys, the chances of them defeating a strong, healthy team like Indiana is is almost impossible. Yeah, they can play hard. They played hard for half. They really gave it all they had, but you kind of knew what the outcome was going to be. I don't see how that's going to change over, 24 hours or 48 hours. They're still going to be without Damian Lillard and Giannis, and they can't match up. Although Rivers finally started playing Jackson.
Jackson looks pretty good.
Yeah, but we knew he was pretty good, right? We had seen him.
Yeah.
And the fact that they chose not to play him, Doc Rivers chose not to. And Beauchamp, who was sitting there on the bench when they need youth and athleticism, I just don't understand it. Calvin, you?
I was just going to say the one thing that might give us a chance tonight is Tyrese Halliburton is questionable. So the Pacers might be down someone too.
Well,
what happened to Tyrese Halliburton?
I think he twisted his ankle at something on the game on Sunday or something like that.
Oh, I thought he might have had arthritis from shooting so many threes, wide open threes, and killing the Bucks. But anyway.
Who knew that Oshkosh was such a hotbed breeding ground for basketball stars? But this guy came out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and is a superstar.
I was talking with a friend the other day, and he was debating me and saying that the Bucks don't do their due diligence in finding players. And he questioned me when I told him the NBA is all over the world. They recruit, they're everywhere. If they hear that there's an ant that knows how to shoot a basketball, they know where the ant's located. But he was debating me and saying that he thinks the Bucks haven't done a good enough job scouring the world to find the best basketball players. I told him that's absolutely untrue. These scouts, Sandy, they're all over the world trying to find the best basketball players. Is it safe to say that?
Well, the Bucks set the example of that when they got Giannis.
Right.
Giannis was one of the first. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got him when he was like 18 years old, and they saw something there that the rest of the world maybe didn't see. And now the rest of the basketball world is everywhere looking for the next Giannis.
Oh, there's no question.
And they're finding him.
Yeah. Well, they're all over the world. Well, I mean, look at what's the guy's name that plays for
Wembanyama?
Wembanyama. You just look at that.
It wasn't hard to find Wembanyama. He is 7'4", I think, right?
Yeah, and then the guy who was drafted on the second round, who's also about 7'1", 7'2", the number two draft pick. He plays for OKC. He's a center.
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, Chet Holmgren.
He's American though.
Chet Holmgren,
he is. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's American. Yeah.
But Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic are another examples of great international.
Oh yeah, man. They're all over the world. They know exactly where they're. But anyway, got a lot to talk about this morning. As promised, Sandy, you and I last Friday talked about Joe Biden, his accomplishments. Today we've scoured the world to find the accomplishments of Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, I think the problem might be that Donald Trump would list accomplishments that were important to him and his base, and we might not agree that those are positive accomplishments, but they are things that were accomplished. So, for instance, he appointed conservatives to the Supreme Court. He said he was going to do it. He did. The result has been the Doe case, and a worry that a lot of people have about where the Supreme Court might go in this new conservative track. But, that from his standpoint, that's an accomplishment. From those who don't, who that doesn't appeal to, it's just the opposite.
I think Sandy. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, we could, I did spend some time.
So before you go to
the internet.
So before you go there, I as well, but before you go there, one of the reasons why we began this quest and wanted to have this conversation with the listening audience about the accomplishments of Joe Biden and as president and Donald Trump as president was to really show people the difference between the two and the impact that, you know, I would think that Joe Biden's presidency has had on the average American. When we look at the accomplishments of Trump, and I was just measuring them based on the impact that has had on the average person, the average American's life, there's some difference. And we will get into that as we move forward with the show. I'm going to kind of acquiesce, and Sandy is going to take the lead on a lot of these different things that Donald Trump has, you know, it's been marked as accomplishments. And so, you know, that's how we're going to do it. You guys are going to certainly be included in the conversation as always. 844-967-2789 is the number. And so we hope and trust that you enjoy the show. And also, you know, this is about the listening audience. And so give us a call at 844-967-2789. Don't let us do it alone. We can do it. We can do it ourselves, Sandy. You know, you and I can, you know, we can, we're full of, what do they say we're full of? Vigor. Vigor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned in to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. My co-host, Sandy Williams. And I got to say this before we go. We got a quick text. Trump is anything but innocent. He's a con man, a grifter, charlatan, a swindler, a cheat, a philanderer, and on and on and on. We don't have as much time. We'll return.
Bang you. Yeah. Huh? Now this is the killer speaking. Do I like what? I sure do like it, baby.
Chantilly lace, pretty face, ponytail hanging down, wiggle and a walk, giggle and a talk. You're gonna make that world go round. Ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny. Spend my doggone. I feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a, what, baby, that's what I like.
All right, welcome back to, he sounds like Elvis.
So, Earl, you let me pick the music today. The piece going into that break was Who's Gonna Play the Piano When I'm Gone by Jerry Lee Lewis. And the rest of the pieces that you'll hear will all be other people playing the piano after he's gone. So it's all... It's all rock stars who play the piano as well.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about the accomplishments of Donald Trump as president of the United States. Ball is in your court, my friend.
Well, yeah. I mentioned the Supreme Court. He said he was going to do that. He did. It's controversial now, and I think there's a lot of trying to go back and figure out just what that has done to politics in the country, particularly the Dodd case. A second thing he ran on when he ran in 2016 was to repeal Obamacare. That didn't happen, but he did succeed in eliminating federal subsidies for low-income low incomes on co-pays and deductibles. And, that's hardly good for Tom, Dick, and Mary. It's just the opposite. But for those who are opposed to Obamacare, and I never did hear in the campaign an explanation of what was wrong with Obamacare, other than maybe the fact that Barack Obama was the one who got it done. But,
Sandy, it's
they accomplished that, but the program then backfilled and avoided that problem by, and it wasn't his administration, to get the silver level coverage dues, which are paid, the premiums which are paid by the government to basically reduce the deductibles.
But it's why I always questioned and challenged people who called it Obamacare. Just the term Obamacare denotes something negative with far too many people. It's the Affordable Care Act. And every time, you know, it's talked about as Obamacare, there are people who right away don't want to have any part of it. I personally always refer to it as the Affordable Care Act. And because, again, and I don't know why it should denote negative nuances with people, but in some instances it does.
Well, the Affordable Care Act has not proved to be as affordable as it could have been, because those who opposed it went to court and got the mandate removed from it. And the mandate was really the basis for what would have made it affordable, is if everyone had to be insured, then the insurance pool would get bigger and the cost of insurance would get small. Another thing that that he did accomplish was what the program called Warp Speed. So when COVID came, the government put together a program labeled Warp Speed to get a vaccine developed very rapidly. And that was accomplished. It was basically a privatized effort. It wasn't a government effort. But the unusual fact of that is that while Trump would tout Warp Speed, he then set about politicizing the vaccine itself and masks and the whole issue of COVID. And so, you know, they ended up having an administration which seemed to be anti-COVID mandate, anti-vaccine mandate, anti-mask, and essentially an anti-vaccine policy. So, you know, what started out as being a grease lightning for the development of a vaccine ended up being a very disorganized government approach that had trouble delivering the vaccine to the people and had trouble delivering the message about vaccine. He named a secretary of education who was dedicated to the concept of boosting vouchers and boosting religious organizations in education. And that was done. They expanded vouchers, and the voucher program has facilitated greater access to private schools, which are primarily parochial schools and religious schools. So that has happened. The problem with that is exactly the flip side of that, which is that, and one other thing, they expanded the use of the college savings programs that were tax deferred, the ability to give money to put money into a fund, 529, I think it's called, fund for someone to go to school, and it could be expended for college, and it's tax deferred and tax benefited. That was extended so that it could be used to pay for parochial or private high schools. And so, yes, that was done, but it was only a benefit to those who could save the money and put it in the funds and had an interest in the tax benefit of it, which is primarily not Tom, Dick, and Mary. Tom, Dick, and Mary have been unable really to make use of those funds. It's people with more money. Speaking about students, the Trump administration was against student loan relief when it came up. And in fact, they cut back on the student loan relief for defrauded students, the students who went to schools that went out of business, the schools that went to schools who essentially fraudulently enticed them to take out federal loans. And that was cut way back. Interestingly, it probably limited the relief that students who took out loans for Trump University could get relief as well. So, you know, some of the problem is that the things that some people think are valuable benefits and accomplishments looked at from another prism don't look very good. And most of these don't look very good to Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Well, you know, after it's all said and done, you know, Tom, Dick, and Mary, that's our listening audience. And so, and that's, you know, the majority of, you know, the people in this country, Tom, Dick, and Mary. And so, you know, you would think that what Tom, Dick, and Mary would be looking for was, would be what's in the best interest of them and their families. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, going on with the list, they scaled back on the SNAP program, the food relief program. Scaled back materially on who was eligible for that.
So
they weakened the overtime. They cut in half the people who are eligible for overtime pay through the a revision to the overtime pay eligibility rules.
So I want to go back to the SNAP program. You know, these things that he orchestrated and the impact that it's had. You know, you are hearing and reading about many people in this country who are struggling to eat every night. And this is not fabricated. You can look it up. There are people who are hungry in this country, and even more so than before Trump took office. And cutting back on the SNAP program has added to many people's hunger in this nation. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Ain't nothing in the world like a big eyed girl. Make me act so funny. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, you picked the music again today. What's the purpose?
Piano. It's all about piano. It's about piano. It's started with, you'll see, it's all artists who feature the piano with what they are doing.
All right, so again, Sandy and I have made a commitment over the last several days to have an open-ended conversation about the impact of Joe Biden's 4 years in office, going to be 4 years in office, and so we did that a couple days ago, and we wanted to contrast that and be fair and open-minded, and talk about Donald Trump's accomplishments. And that's what we're doing today. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, we the people. That means all of us are the government, and we must never forget that. Sandy, I got a couple questions. I'm just trying to actually look at the other side of the coin here. So the question I have is, and I'd appreciate if I just get all these out. One, did he do anything at all to help the middle class while he was in office? Second, did he do anything to help mom and pop small businesses? And I'm not talking about the big corporations, because we know, you know, tax cuts for billionaires, and we know the big tax cuts. But he do anything really to help mom and pop small businesses? And also, you know, when you talk about child care, health care, taxes and rent, did he do anything at all to help in those four indices? Because that's what you always talk about, CHTR, on that. And didn't he sign the agreement to get us out of Afghanistan before Biden came into office? So I would say maybe out of anything, maybe that's what he did. I don't know. Like I said, I'm trying to, you know, put it where, well, maybe Trump did have something good, but I can't find anything at all. I mean, that would help the middle class. It would help the Tom, Dick, and Mary, like you say. I don't see anything, and I'm just wondering, you know, did you find anything? Thanks, Sandy. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Well, scant little. The tax reduction bill, which basically skewed heavily towards benefiting the wealthy and benefiting those who were in special purpose corporations and partnerships, got benefit. There might be some benefits that were realized by those who operate small businesses with LLCs, but scant little from the standpoint of the Tax Act. The tax cut bill itself just failed to pay dividends. In fact, all the cash that it created caused a flurry of tax buybacks. There weren't enough good investment opportunities for the corporations to use their extra liquidity to make investments. And so they did other things to make their stock more valuable, like stock buybacks. So, you know, I think that the tax cut itself promised some benefits to middle-class America. Most of those sunset very soon. The benefits to corporations and larger taxpayers don't sunset, which is an interesting process of sunsetting the benefits for Tom, Dick, and Mary, but not for those others. But the benefits from that tax act are scant few as realized by the economy. There was potentially a benefit for the corporate tax reduction. But what we end up having as a result of the Tax Act were giant deficits during the remaining period of the business boom in the second to the last year of Trump's presidency before the pandemic took a bite out of the economy. So, you know, I'm sure the Tax Act would be touted as a benefit, but I think it's pretty easy to dissect the Tax Act and come up with a bunch of questions about it.
Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. And again, thank you for taking my call. You know, I get tired of hearing Tom every day. You know, what has he done? Well, it's pretty simple. And I have a list of like a number of things. But he gave billions of dollars or aid to farmers. So last time I looked, farmers were typically middle class. Middle class income increased $6,000 a year, more than five times that during Obama. Income rose in every metro U.S. area for the first time in 30 years, lifted 7 million people off of food stamps. Wages rose faster for low-income and blue-collar workers, over 16% during his four-year term.
I'll give you a chance, but when you say he took 7 million people, you know, off of food stamps, is that what you said?
Yep. And that's okay, so what got jobs.
Okay, I know, but when we talk about him cutting the SNAP benefit, there were many people who wound up losing their SNAP benefits. It's not because they got jobs, because Sandy just spoke about all of those people who were impacted by the SNAP benefits being taken away.
Mark, I didn't get a chance to get to the agricultural benefits, but we need to understand when and how those agricultural benefits came to be. Trump initiated massive tariffs on Chinese imports. The Chinese then implemented massive tariffs on U.S. on imports from the U.S., primarily agricultural. And it was an effort by Trump to try and mitigate the effect of those the effect of that cutoff of exports to China that caused a great deal of those billions of dollars to flow to farmers. So, you know, the farmers received aid, but it was in large part a response to difficulties that farmers were experiencing because of other of Trump's programs.
He eliminated the estate tax or death tax over $5 trillion.
Mark, let us respond. We'll let you continue, but you know, we got to push back on just because it's written doesn't mean that there aren't some other aspects of it. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, the eliminating the death tax, first of all, the exemptions for the death tax were already in place that caused anyone with an estate, I think, less than $11 million not to pay any estate tax. So eliminating the death tax was really eliminating the death tax for wealthy people, because there already was an exemption from the death tax for people with estates of modest to even significant size, but not so, you know, that is, you know, but for those who want to eliminate the death tax, that was maybe a benefit. There are some other things that we didn't get a chance to list.
Well, so Sandy, if you can hang on, let's let Mark go through his list, and then we'll.
Well, because Mark is going to preempt. We were going through a list that I think was going to include much of what he's talked about. For instance, there were revisions to the criminal justice system that were beneficial to convicted felons after they got out, to help them get jobs. And that was just a positive. I don't have a negative side to that. So they did pay some attention to post-prison reform and to roll back the problems for some of the felons who got out of prison. There was a first audit attempt of the Pentagon. They couldn't complete it, but that was a benefit to start the process of testing the Pentagon and the capacity to run audits of the Pentagon. To the extent that you think it's a benefit, he pulled this out of essentially all of the emission standard risk kinds of things. He rolled back the emission standards for automobiles and has stuck his foot in the ground distinctly opposed to aggressive steps to avoid climate change based on human activity. He rolled back the bank rules associated with testing banks' capacity to, and this was for mid-sized banks, the bank capacity to withstand economic problems. It is true that after that rollback, there were failures of a number of banks that put the American economy in a bit of jeopardy for a while. We can all remember the failures of four banks in the space of weeks in this regional size that experienced this rollback in rules. But Mark, go ahead.
Mark is gone. And so I guess, Sandy, what it comes down to is his list and wherever he got his list. And our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, we can talk about these things, but we can't talk about them without, you know, having some discussion, I guess, on each one of them. And so Mark's position go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I think we need to, I think it's good to maybe list a bunch, because I think we're going to get a bunch of callers and it'll get interrupted. Obviously immigration was an issue during his administration, and immigration has continued to be a problem. It was a significant problem before his administration. The number of people presenting themselves at the border has gone up very significantly, and the nature of the people presenting themselves for asylum. But incidentally, the current discussion of immigration is very slanted and not correctly so. Almost all of the people who are listed as being this new influx of immigrations are people who are seeking asylum and have gotten into the asylum analysis process of our government. They are not people who are coming across the border in the dark of night and bringing drugs. It's entirely different than that picture that's being painted of it. But, you know, I think our current administration concedes that there is an immigration problem that needs to be addressed and tried to address it and failed only because the Republican side of the aisle decided not to go along with the bipartisan bill.
You know, Sandy, part of when I was going through some of these things that he had accomplished, it talked about his impact on immigration, but it talked about as well, not just illegal immigration, but the impact on legal immigration. And some of those things that Donald Trump helped usher through and impacted legal immigrants. You know, it's one thing to talk about, and I'm going through and bringing this up, there are two sides to that equation and that coin. And so it's one thing to say, well, he stopped all the illegals from coming across the border, but he also did some damage to people who are here legally. And so as I'm bringing this up, Sandy, you can move on till I find it.
Well, yeah, I think he changed in particular the rules associated with people who have particular labor skills, which would entitle them to entry. And I think that exception process was made more difficult.
844-967-2789 is the number. You two can join this conversation. We're talking about the accomplishments of President Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, during his 4 years in office. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday, that means Tuesdays, for my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Yeah, the D and I'm talking, but you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. As promised, Sandy and I are talking about the accomplishments of Donald Trump during his presidency. And we thought it was important that after we talked about Joe Biden's accomplishments on last Friday, that we would give the other side of the equation, and as promised, that's what we're doing. Let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, Earl. How you doing? Hey, Sandy. How you doing? I hope you're feeling better.
Well, I am. Thanks.
All right. Go ahead, Gary.
That's good. All right. I listen to The Truth. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this 101.7, and Sherman Hughes is I love Sherman Hughes. He's very smart. He's great.
Hey Gary. We don't need you to talk about some other radio station on this show. All right, just not happening, man. Okay, so we can talk about what we're talking about, but you're not going to talk about some other radio station on our radio station.
What? But it's part of what I have.
Hey, Gary, you can't do that on our radio station and on this show. You can't do it anywhere else. You can't do it here.
I won't talk about any particular radio station. So
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, but I'm deleting it. All right, but my black African American friends that I listen and talk to, they were saying, why for the last 50 or 100 years that we've been voting Democratic? Why don't we give the Republicans a chance?
What does that have to do with the conversation we're having about Donald Trump's accomplishments?
what it is he's done a lot for black families.
Hey, Gary. I'm a black man. You can't tell me what he's done for black families, okay, that I'm going to accept. So let's talk about the other things.
I do think this. I think that we can look at economic, trajectory of economic progress in this country. And we have to go back to 2008 and the collapse of the financial system of 2007 and 2008. And then the Barack Obama presidency and the actual upward trajectory of the economy during every year of the Obama administration after year, I think, one or one and a half. So we had 7 and 6.5 years of Obama with massive growth rate. And in fact, more jobs created in the last 4 years of the Obama administration than were created during the Trump years. Trump simply inherited it in an economy that was on that kind of a trajectory. And then added some sugar high to it with the Tax Reduction Act, which ended up creating massive deficits, which are now a part of the Republican sort of talking points with respect to running for office. But the fact is that what has happened during the Biden years has also surpassed the Trump years with respect to job creation and with respect to real income increases. So, you know, we can talk about what Donald Trump did for black families. What happened to black families and white families was the result of what was happening in the economy. And to the extent that you want to give Donald Trump credit for the economy, I think you also have to give Joe Biden credit for what's happening in the economy. And other than inflation, we can look at real income, we can look at jobs, we can look at the number of people in jobs, we can look at unemployment rates amongst whites and amongst blacks. And I think you'll find that the Biden period has exceeded the Trump period with respect to progress.
Well, the turnaround started under then President Barack Obama. So, and Trump inherited that. So Gary, go ahead quickly.
Okay, no, I agree. Under Barack Obama, things started working out well. The day that Donald Trump was inaugurated, the next day, the stock market dropped like I think it was like 550 points. Then after that, it went up like 10,000 points, which has never gone up that fast under any other president.
I don't know where you got that information.
Except under Joe Biden. And the fact is that the stock market went up rapidly under Barack Obama, too. I mean, you have to remember Barack Obama inherited a stock market that was
6,500. The Dow Jones, 6,500 when he left, Sandy.
I think when he left office, it was
19,000. Somewhere around
18,000. So, you know, I just think you have to look at the trajectory of the business environment. And of course, the stock market is of interest, but it's not of pivotal interest to Tom, Dick, and Mary. But incidentally, the stock market is doing very well under Joe Biden. What is it at now?
29,000 to 35. I don't know. It's really unbelievable. But Gary, we were talking about the accomplishments of Donald Trump, and you kind of went all over the place with things that, you know, you can't back up.
Well, for black families. And there's a lot of black families that are going to be voting for Donald Trump because they realize.
Thank you.
I'm just telling you, it's happening. Wait, I have one more accomplishment, real fast. The Space Force, that's massive. That's going to be more. I'm just telling you.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, Sandy, I forgot. Space Force!
Well, you know, he did develop Space Force. There is a potential issue associated with warfare outside of our atmosphere. But incidentally, at the time that it was created, the generals in the Pentagon were not in favor of it. They felt that it was complicating the assignments to, for instance, the Air Force and the Army with respect to their duties. And so he created it, but it was a matter of contention amongst those who were in the military.
But furthermore, Sandy, I don't remember the last time somebody mentioned Space Force. It's been a while. So, you know, it's a reach. Best 844-967-2789 is the number. Guys, hang on the phone lines. We'll continue the conversation. We're having a conversation about the accomplishments of then President Donald Trump. 844-967-2789 is the number.